Hi, I'm Martin, and welcome to Upgrade Your Day, the podcast.
I think people, I mean, you can have a million crystals and have them on, you know, all the shelves in your room and in your house, and they look really pretty.
Mm-hmm.
Unless you're actually doing something to work with them, they're not kind of going to create this massive miracle and transformation in your life.
You have
to work with the crystal to actually
get
some kind of benefit from it.
So today I am talking all things crystals. Now, if you're like me, and you kind of follow a bit of a holistic approach to well-being, you kind of have this interest in everything that's just maybe for some people a little bit out there, a bit woo-woo, whatever you want to call it. Crystals are fascinating. I'm drawn to them, certain colours, certain patterns when I read up about them. I connect in that moment, yet I really don't know much about them. And as I mentioned in this podcast, next year I'm really going to try and read and study more about them. So this chat with the lovely Stella from Moonstone Healing, based in Maidenhead, the next town on from me, is really lovely. It's really interesting. And she is the most loveliest person that I now like to think she's my friend. She might not feel the same. She's not used to doing podcasts or anything like that, but she's done such a great job, as you'll hear. She's so lovely, and I can't wait to start doing some of her courses. Hey, come and join us next year. I shall be booking one as soon as I can. I should also just warn you, I don't know if it's the crystals or our phones, but there is a little bit of interference on this podcast as well. So you might hear a few little bits and bobs pop up, but it's all good. So I hope you enjoy this chat. This is All About Crystals with the lovely Stella. I think it's because we care so much about what we do. And also, are you quite a sensitive person?
Very sensitive. Yeah. Yeah, give myself a hard time for things.
Yeah. God, we could be twins, us.
Yeah, a major imposter syndrome. I swear at any point someone's going to find me out.
Yep. 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 I felt like that about my performing career for the last 15 years, sweetheart. I've been exactly the same. I think someone's going to realise that I am absolutely rubbish at what I do.
Yeah.
Well, I think they know that anyway, and they just let me get away with it, to be honest with you. But I think that's the thing. I think people that are sensitive are also are a lot of the times control freaks, and also imposter syndrome, and just worry about what people think.
Mm.
Which is why, because why should we worry what other people think?
Mm.
Why should we do that?
I think it just obviously comes from some kind of lack of something.
Yeah.
Lack of belief in ourselves, or lack of worth somewhere, that you're worrying so much about what other people think or how you come across, or giving yourself such a hard time when you wouldn't think that way about someone else.
No.
You only think about yourself. We're so mean to ourselves. So
I mean, we say, imagine if a friend was giving you advice, what that friend would say to you, and then you kind of go, oh yeah, that's a really good point actually. Why am I overthinking this? Would you say you're an overachiever?
Yeah, so sometimes I have to figure out, am I doing this because it's something I genuinely want to do, or am I doing it because I'm trying to prove that I'm good enough to do it?
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of have that
that
battle with myself sometimes.
I think for me, it was always a case of when I was at school, I was rubbish at everything. I mean, literally, even with math and stuff, you know, you get like, I mean, this is back in, what, we're talking like the 80s. So you had like a maths group, you had like the best one was number one, then there was like number two, then there was like number three. And I was kind of like, just don't even bother coming in, just go and sit in the library with the teacher and do a bit of sketching. Like they wouldn't, oh, it was so bad. And I think sometimes the way I go about things and the way that I kind of put so much into stuff is because I feel like there's this sort of like subconsciousness about that, about not being good enough, and kind of going, look what I'm doing now. Even though I couldn't care less about proving to anyone I was at school with, or teachers, or my parents, no one.
It's proving to yourself.
Yeah, it's proving to yourself that you can do it. And even though we prove many, many times, I guess it's just sort of embedded in us, isn't it, really? And so I think it's good to be an overachiever, but it's good to know your limits and not to make yourself ill with it, which sometimes, you know, I can stay up for for hours doing work. And I now, with my mindfulness practice, especially in the last 2 years, I can go, stop, not important.
Yeah.
Go to bed.
I think the difference is now where we have an awareness of when we're doing it. So even when we're not quite able to stop ourselves, now we have this awareness and can see when we're falling into that pattern.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's progress at least, isn't it?
And I definitely know how to kind of look after myself and, like you say, know when to stop it. And that's only been the last few years, or else otherwise it's madness. But I do have to say, we're rabbiting on here, but you have brought some lovely things for me today, which I'm going to grab here as well, because today we're talking crystals.
We'll get
around
to it eventually.
We'll get around to it. I've been chatting for 10 minutes. So this here is, let me just grab that, because what did you explain this was?
That's a pendulum.
A pendulum.
Yeah.
And the crystal?
It's rose quartz.
Rose quartz.
So that's all about self-love, compassion for yourself and love for others as well.
And with a pendulum, so explain a little bit about how that works.
Okay, so it's basically picking up on your inner wisdom, your intuition. So we're all really naturally intuitive. I think especially working with children the last couple of years with crystals, that it's become even more apparent how naturally intuitive they are.
Yeah.
And that's something that we all have, but as adults we kind of lose touch with that.
Mm.
So when you're working with crystals, you're kind of getting back in touch with that intuition and that inner wisdom. And when you use a pendulum, it's basically, you can use it to get a yes or no answer for something, or you can also use it to check your chakras and see where there might be a blockage there.
And is this the same sort of thing when people are, you know, when they say they're pregnant and they tell if you're having a boy or a girl,
right. Yeah.
Is that the same sort of thing?
You can use it for that, yeah. I mean, obviously you wouldn't go around telling people that you can predict the sex of their baby.
No,
you know.
Exactly.
But, you know, you can really use it for guidance. You can use it to help you choose crystals. Which ones might be best for you at this time, or sometimes I use it to help me choose oracle cards for readings, or just general guidance. I got really overexcited when I first figured out how to use a pendulum, and I was literally asking it for, like, you know, should I have a cheese sandwich for lunch? Or
no, that wouldn't.
I got absolutely obsessed and I was like, you've got to rein this in, Stella.
That's not good, because I'd be like saying, if I do get KFC, will I put on more weight or can I get away with it? Oh, thank you, pendulum, I can get away with it. Get the takeaway menu, Bruce.
So just kind of being mindful of what you're using it for. But the idea is that it's picking up on your intuition.
Oh, wow. And how do you use this? If I'm doing this myself?
Okay, so you're holding it over. So you've got a chakra in the palm of your hand. So we know we've got the seven main chakras in our body, but we've actually got sort of lots of little chakras all around the body. So
yes.
We've got one in the palm of the hand. So if you're holding it just above the palm of your hand, that's it. So just hold it there a second, and you might see it starts to wobble a little bit.
Yeah.
So it's just kind of connecting to your chakra there. So you can ask the pendulum, show me which way for yes.
Show me which way for yes.
And then hold it. I know, right?
What's the...
So that's your way for yes. So then let it stop it, and then ask it to show you which way for no.
Which way for no?
Just give it a second.
Oh.
Give it a second.
Oh.
Take a moment. And so is that going a different way?
Oh my God. Yes, it is.
So you can just kind of test it out and ask it a question that you know the answer for. So just, you know.
So that's
is
now
my name
going
Martin. Just check and see whether it's
for happening. The listeners, that is going sort of like clockwise, and before it went anti-clockwise. Mm. Crikey.
I know.
And I was holding that for ages and it just didn't go anywhere until I actually asked it.
Yeah. So you can use that for asking yes or no questions for guidance. If you want to use it to check the chakras, you can ask it. Is this chakra blocked? Or if you hold it, if you want to test it out on someone else, you can hold it over that chakra point.
Yeah.
So if it goes in a steady clockwise position, then that's all good. That's what we want to see. If it is completely still, then that indicates there's a blockage in that area. or if it goes really fast, perhaps it's a bit overactive.
Right, yeah.
So there's lots of different ways that you can use a pendulum, and like, it's so much fun, and the kids love using those as well.
Yeah.
So whenever I teach the children's workshops or the adults' workshops, I always make sure that they get a pendulum in the workshop to work with.
Wow. And so that just picks up on the chakra. So can you hand, like, over your hand, but can you have it anywhere else on your body, or is it really just for the hand?
Yeah, so if you want to check your chakras, if you can manage to hold it over a chakra, then see which way it goes or what it does. A bit more difficult doing that on yourself than it is to do it on other people. But when you're asking your yes and no questions, just holding it over your palm is the best.
And should it be a rose? Should it always be rose?
No, or? It can be anything. It can be anything.
And does it matter if it's different crystals, or is it
No, you just... can get them that have got all different crystals in it as well. So, yeah, it really doesn't matter too much. You can just use what resonates with you.
And so would you say to... like, do you use this often? Do you use it daily, or...?
I use that when I'm giving Reiki treatments.
Mm.
So I'll use that at the beginning of a treatment, and I'll hold it over each chakra point, just to get an indication straight away where there might be areas of blockage before I start doing the treatment. And then I'll do it again at the end to see whether it's cleared.
And so you can, so if it's blocked, it doesn't move.
Yeah.
And if it's cleared, it will move.
Go in a clockwise direction.
In a clockwise direction. Oh my gosh. See, this is what I want to learn more about. I definitely want to learn more about this next year, which means I probably should come and do some of your Reiki sessions, shouldn't I?
I do a crystal workshop for adults, which is like a whole day, and it's really beautiful because it's kind of, it's not just about how to use the crystals, but it's meditations and different little exercises to kind of really get you in tune with what's going on with you in your life at the moment and how crystals might be able to help you. Rather than just what they do.
I am so going to do that. I'm absolutely going to do that next year, because I find that fascinating.
Oh, good.
Because it's also little things like this, you forget, like you see pretty crystals or people buy you crystals and think, oh, that looks nice to put on your desk or something, but you forget about the whole chakra and how it can link with that.
Yeah, I mean, I think you can have a million crystals and have them on, you know, all the shelves in your room and in your house, and they look really pretty.
Mm-hmm.
Unless you're actually doing something to work with them, they're not kind of going to create this massive miracle and transformation in your life. You have to work with the crystal to actually get some kind of benefit from it.
Yeah. And does it matter what different size is, or is that a good size? What I've got at the moment is probably like an inch, is it? About an inch? It's like a little...
Well, it's not the size that counts, but what do you do with it that matters.
Oh, I go straight to size, don't I? Straight to the size.
So, it's not about the size of the crystal. It's really just how you connect with it and, what it can do for you.
Wow, I love that. And then here, you've also got, let me explain it. So to me, who doesn't know very much about crystals, it's a lovely orange crystal. Let me grab this one. So there's a little piece of wood. That's what I can see. And some of you that know about crystals will be like, oh, here he goes. What's he talking about? A bit of wood. But it is a beautiful orange crystal, and it's got a point to it, and it's lovely and smooth, but then the edges are quite rough. They're sort of white, where the sort of like the crystal's been broken there. And I really want to smell it, because I'm just like, it looks like it should smell like oranges. It's gorgeous.
Yeah, it's very vibrant.
So explain this one to me then.
That's orange calcite. So, so this is the one that I bought from my friend's daughter, who's got her little crystal business, Eleanor.
And let's do a shout out. What's it called?
Shout out. So Eleanor's got a little business called Starseed Crystals, and she's got some shelves in a shop called Aura in Maidenhead Town Centre. So she's only 13, and she's built this amazing business. She's kind of known locally as the Crystal Girl.
Wow, I love the Crystal Girl.
Which is amazing. So this is from her shop. And yeah, this is orange calcite. So this is what I felt intuitively that you would need in your life. And it's very vibrant, very beautiful.
It's really beautiful. I'll put pictures on social media as well when this goes out, and you'll be able to see all these things. If you look at my Facebook or Instagram page, we'll put a picture on there. But it does come with this little bit of wood that to me looks like it should be going on a fireplace, a bit of kindling. That's what it looks like. So explain that to me.
That's Palo Santo. So that can be used.
Palo Santo sounds like a singer. Palo Santo. That does sound like a singer, Palo Santo. I kind of want to buy his album. Sorry, I'm being rude now. Go on.
So you've heard of sage and smudge sticks.
Yes, yeah.
That you would use for cleansing the space. Cleansing your crystals. So Palo Santo would be used in the same way, and it's got a really, really lovely smell. So you can light that and you can use that to cleanse your crystal. You just hold your crystal in the smoke and that would cleanse it, because obviously when it's come from a shop or you've probably had loads of different people handle the crystal, and you want to just cleanse it and get it back to its original state, ready to absorb your energies. Because when you're working with a crystal, it's picking up on your unique vibrational energy, and you're picking up on its unique vibrational energy, and these frequencies kind of tune in together. So you want it to be cleansed and ready for that, ready for you to use.
That's amazing, because there is a shop in Glastonbury. Let me get out what it says here. There is a shop here, and I need to do a shout out. It's called Sons of Asgard.
Okay.
Have you been to Glastonbury after?
Yeah. There's loads of...
It's literally, there's Which a place called White Rabbit. So for those of you that go to Glastonbury High Street, there's the church halfway along the high street.
Yes.
Yes. And if you're stood with your back to the church, if you go right, you go down, you go around the corner, but it's just down there. It used to be an old bank, I think.
Okay.
Opposite Burns the Bread. And they sell crystals in there. And I bought this crystal bracelet in there. And they said, oh, do you want it cleansed? I was like, oh, yes, please. And it was either this or sage, and lit it. And then he just wafted it around a little bit and cleansed it. And it was beautiful, actually. And you're right, it smelled really, really nice.
Mm. It's quite light, that smell. Sage can be quite heavy.
Right, yeah.
So I find that's a bit lighter.
Yeah, it's absolutely lovely. And I have to say, my other little present you got here is a gorgeous little candle. I mean, we can't beat candles, especially now in the autumn.
Yeah.
From the Witchy Kitchen. And so explain this candle for me. Again, I'll put a picture on my social media.
So it's got some red carnelian crystals in. So that, again, is the lower chakras. That's your root chakra. That's to help you feel stable, grounded, centered. And, you know, when your energy's feeling a bit scattered, it's a good one to keep you grounded. And it's got some sandalwood and some frankincense resin in there. So you'll get little hits of different smells as it burns.
Oh, that is going to be so lovely. And do you have a favourite crystal? Is there a crystal that is like your go-to every time?
Yeah, I go through phases. And really, it's kind of interesting to look back on what's going on in your life when you're drawn to a particular crystal. Because if you can kind of look at yourself through the lens of the crystal, you'll find out a lot about yourself. So... through different points in my life, there's been different crystals. I think there's a few. I'd say rose quartz.
Yeah.
I always say to everyone, you can never have enough rose quartz. I have literally got it in every single room in my house, and that's no exaggeration. It's in every room, including the bathroom. Like to have a nice rose quartz bath.
And I've got my little book of crystals here. Now, you see, we were saying earlier before I started recording that I have a million books that I call flick through books, you know, like cookery books, whatever. Yeah. And on a Sunday, if I want to just chill out, I sort of think I'll pile the books up and I just flick through them. And so I've bought this little essential book of crystals from the works, £4.
Oh,
can't go wrong.
A workbook, can you?
And it's brilliant because actually it's just listed a load here, and it's just little ones that you can sort of flick through and read. There's no massive study or anything.
Yeah.
And I'm just seeing if they've got a rose. What did you call it?
Rose quartz. It's a light pink one, so it's connected to the heart chakra.
Oh, yeah, page 62. I'm going to have a little look at this one. And I think that is quite a popular one, isn't it for a lot of people?
And it's all about love, really. It's about love for ourselves, love for other people. Self-compassion, and the reason I've got so much of it is because I really feel that once you've got that self-compassion and self-love in place, everything else kind of falls into place in your life. But we really struggle. We were talking earlier about that we struggle with this being kind to ourselves.
Yeah.
So yeah, rose quartz is really good for that.
Well, it's got here best for manifesting unconditional love, romance and healing.
Mm.
I love that.
You can never have too much. So
yes, exactly.
But as well, I mean, the books are great. Crystal Bibles are great. And when I first started out and I didn't really know much about crystals, I used them a lot. But actually, when you're going into a shop, I would do it the other way around. So I'd go with your intuition. What are you drawn to when you're in a shop? What crystal keeps kind of grabbing your attention?
Yeah.
How do you feel when you hold it? And trust in your intuition that you know what crystal you need.
Yes.
Because I think if you've got these preconceived ideas of what a crystal can do for you, you might be blocking off your intuition a little bit, or not allowing space for your intuition to lead the way.
Yeah.
So go by what you're drawn to and then go back and check in the book. And more often than not, you'll find that it's exactly what you need at that point in your life.
Well, do you know what? It's funny because this one I've got here, again, it's pronounced, this is my favourite colour. I think I've mentioned it on a previous podcast, but it's oxidized copper. So it's kind of the rooftops of Copenhagen, or any rooftop, the Statue of Liberty. Mainly most statues are like it, especially here in Windsor. And it's called verdigris or verdigris, something like that. I don't know how to say it, but it is beautiful. And it is kind of like a mint green color, but also a little bit jade. And I think it's one of those colors when you see a statue, especially in gardens, you've got all the colors of nature, flowers, grass, and it stands out. And someone said to me once, oh, no wonder you like it, because you're a performer and you like to stand out, or all that kind of thing. And I thought, I get that, but at the same time, I also don't like that as well. Yeah. I'm a completely I want to hide. Yeah.
I have my bright pink hair, and sometimes the way I'm dressed, it's like, oh, look at me. And then at the same time, I'm like, oh no, don't look at me.
Exactly. I tell you, we are twins, darling, because it's so strange. It stands out. When you see a statue, you just go, crikey, it's just beautiful. But I know that when I went into the shop in Glastonbury, the Sons of Asgard, I did a little thing with my hand where I just scanned around and took a bit of time, and it went straight to that.
Yeah.
And then a couple of weeks later, I thought, oh, I was with my mum, and I thought, I'll treat her to one as well. And I love the way, like you say, they cleansed it. So I went in, I told her, you need to do this. And I told her about my favourite colour. Crikey, we're having a barbecue a few hours beforehand. My mum did it. Picked the same one.
Really?
Yeah, she picked the same one. And I said to her, did you want that colour? She went, well, not really, but I have to have it because I've picked it, and that's part of what's happening, and you talked about it. Wow. So in a way, even, and we'll go on to this actually, because even people that doubt crystals and the good they can do, that moment with my mum of both picking the same one and her wearing it, it's like a little connection.
Yeah.
So whether or not scientifically it means nothing, that is actually a really, really important thing. Yeah. And that little connection that we have. And sometimes when I see her wear it, I go, oh, she's wearing my favourite colour, isn't it? But how do you feel about, because some people say scientifically crystals mean nothing, it's just like placebo effect and so on and so on. And I always argue by saying, even if it means nothing, like I just said, there's such a connection there. Mm. And if people believe it's doing something or it gives someone confidence, why not?
Exactly.
Why not? What is wrong in that?
I have several thoughts on this.
Oh, she's got opinions. She's got opinions. Oh, let me sip my tea.
I'm not a sciencey person at all. My response to anyone about anything, whether it's Reiki, crystals, whatever, is come and experience it. See how it makes you feel.
Yeah.
But, you know, we use quartz in watches, in computers.
Oh yeah, you know, we do, don't we?
It's a fact that everything is energy. Einstein said that.
Yes, of course.
So, you know, it's not completely woo-woo. In fact, one of my students bought me a book for my birthday called Why Woo-Woo Works, and it's the science behind crystals, meditation, Reiki and other holistic practices.
I'm going to write that down now.
To our pile of books that we never get around to reading.
Yeah. Add it to our book list. Oh no, another one.
But I do need to read this, because I think for someone that's not very sciencey, and I get a lot of people that come to me that are quite sciencey, that I think it'll be really nice to be able to offer a bit more of an explanation. But they, you know, crystals kind of work with Yeah, it's their frequency, it's their vibration that then reacts with your vibration, and it kind of, they play off each other. So like, you know, even when you listen to a song that's really sad,
yeah,
you'll start to feel sad, or if yeah, it's uplifting, you'll feel uplifted.
Yeah.
Or if you spend time with a certain person and you always feel a certain way after you've spent time with them, it's because your energies are kind of merging together.
Yeah.
So crystals work in the same way. But I mean, you know, it's not our place to convince anyone, is it? I think just,
well, it's not,
you know,
no, some
give things a go.
I don't know about you, but some people are so kind of, rather than saying, do you know what, if it works for you, then crack on, love. Yeah. Some people are so judgmental and like, no, you need to see it this way, you need to see it this way. I think I've learned that over the years myself as well, sometimes, that there's no changing people or however you think something should be. Everyone has their own opinion, and you just have to let them do it. If it works for them, then what's wrong with that? But I must admit, when I trained in mindfulness, the one thing that I loved, which I thought would be the one thing that I would just dread having to do, was the science behind meditation.
Because you're like, here you are.
Yeah, I was like, right, let's have a look at this then. And I thought it'd be all these long words, and I'd just be like, oh God, I don't understand it. I've switched off already. But I couldn't believe how I loved it, because it sort of explains it. And the way it explained the mind and meditation, I was like, do you know what? That is brilliant. I'd still struggle to argue with somebody because I'd get lost. I'd need to pass it on to someone else. I think I could go so far, and then I can do like entry level to my argument, and then I'm going to pass you on to a proper scientist. But I couldn't believe it, you know.
Even when you think of the placebo effect,
yeah,
I mean, people say that as if it's like a bad thing, but actually, all it does is it's showing you how powerful the mind is.
Yes.
If the mind can trick you into thinking something is working for you, it's helping you, look how powerful the mind is.
Yeah.
It just shows the power of positive thinking.
Or, yeah.
You know, so yeah, like you say, if someone believes in something and it works for them, what's the harm in it?
Yeah. The mind is very powerful.
Mm.
And I have to say, so with regards to even birth crystals, birth stones, etc. How are you with that as well? Is that something we should embrace? Because so my birthstone, February, is amethyst, which I love, that lovely purple. Yeah. And it says in my little crystals book, which I'm going to read on a Sunday, is called Peace, or it's for peace, cleansing and calming energy.
Yeah.
And the other one I love is the gold tiger eye, which is for clear thinking, confidence and willpower.
Oh yeah, no, that's a great one, tiger's eye.
And it's beautiful.
That's one that I reach for a lot when you just need that little confidence boost.
Yeah.
When you're going into a situation where you feel a little bit maybe overwhelmed and like you want to kind of make yourself really small and hide away, it's really good for that, like that confidence boost and personal power.
So are you saying then that really you should have a collection of crystals, whether it's jewelry or actual crystals themselves? And if I was going to go to an audition that I wasn't very confident about, should I be picking up that tiger's eye, the crystal, the stone, putting it in my pocket, or putting the bracelet on and hoping that gives me what I need? Or should I be reaching, not knowing what I'm going to pick up, but trusting that that will be what I need, but it might not be, for instance, a tiger's eye?
Yeah, go with your intuition always, rather than what you think you should, you should have. And also, spend some time connecting with that crystal as well. So spend time with it, maybe meditation or just sitting there and having your eyes closed, holding the crystal in your hand and just seeing if you pick up anything from it. Any feelings, whether it's a word, an image, anything that crystal might give you a clue as to how it can help you. Or you can set your crystal with an intention. So you can
do
the same thing. You can hold the crystal in your hands and you can program it. You can just tell it what you want it to do for you. I program this crystal to either give me more confidence, help me speak clearly, put in more boundaries, or whatever you want it to do. You can set it with an intention.
And so I guess rather than that tiger's eye for that audition, if I picked up the amethyst, and like it says on here about a calming energy, it might be that I just need that more than I do more than I do that whole willpower.
That's right.
It so might be seen to come, you know.
Is actually doing it that way, is that crystal might actually direct you to the reason why you lacking in confidence.
Yes, yeah.
Rather than just, you know, choosing something that helps you with confidence.
Yeah.
It's going to give you a little bit more clarity and insight if you're using your intuition.
Do you know what? This is fascinating. And I think not only am I definitely going to come to you, and we'll put your details on in a minute, but I'm going to come to you and do a course. But is there something, what should you read? So if I do actually read a book at any point in my life, if I do get a book, is there one that, if you get a collection of, and we'll come on to this in a second, but if you get a collection of crystals,
yeah,
is there a really good book that people listening could actually purchase just to start to play around with it that gives an explanation of what they all are? Do you recommend anyone? Or is it just a case of anything, you know, any of them?
There's a book that I love called The Crystal Code,
yeah,
by Tamara Dreisen, or Dreisen, I think. I'm not sure how to say it.
Right.
And that's a really lovely book, and it's very simple. And it's got a couple of little activities, exercises that you can do. And then it's got a list of, a selection of crystals.
Right, yeah.
Gives you information about them.
And what would you suggest, Pete, if people are listening going, right, I'm going to get that book, I'm going to do a bit more investigating, but just to start me off, just to see how I go, is there a certain collection of crystals you think people should get, or should they possibly go to a crystal shop and just play around with what's in front of them?
Well, obviously, always just go with what you want to do.
Hmm.
What I do when I teach the workshops, I make sure that students all have a set of chakra crystals, so that they are able to go away with something that they can use for, like, all over body healing. So without going so far into chakras, because that's a whole nother podcast.
Yes, yes.
But very basically, the chakras are the energy centers in our body that we need to be flowing. We need to be unblocked so that energy can flow throughout our body and we feel healthy and happy. So crystals are really good for nourishing the chakra centers.
Right.
So you can very easily, if you look up on the internet what color each chakra is, very simply you can go and choose a color, the same color crystal for each chakra, and that's a really simple way of doing it.
Yeah.
And so then you can go home and you can lie down, put your crystals on all the chakra points, and do it that way. Or you can spend time, say, work with one chakra and one crystal at a time for a few days and just seeing what happens for you when you use
yeah.
that crystal.
I love that. So I think, and actually I must admit, when I do gigs around the country, every town I go to, I always mooch about. I love a charity shop. I love popping into a charity shop. You don't know what you're going to find. There's always something. And there'll always be, as myself and my husband call it, our shop, which is always that, I call it Glastonbury shop. Just with the joss sticks and the crystals and so on and so on. And there's always one in every town, sometimes two or three. I can't think of one town I've been to that hasn't got one. apart from Windsor, actually, just up the road. There's nothing like that, is there?
We
need to open one, babes. We need to open one. The Crystal Twins, we could call it. We need one. But there's none here. It's weird, isn't it?
No, yeah. How interesting.
Yeah, there's always one. So I reckon anybody listening to this, a great way to upgrade your day, which, and also they're not expensive, are they? They're not.
You don't need to have, like, you know, these big, elaborate, huge crystals. You don't even need to have a huge collection. It's better that you're working with one or two and really connecting with them than to have loads and loads of them.
What a great way to upgrade your day is just to get a few crystals and get a little bit of a book or download stuff on the internet and have a little look what it says. And just as you say, just play around with it and just see if things could work for you. I think that's a really lovely way of going about having a little upgrade, because for some people it could change everything.
Yeah.
And if it's not your thing, it's not your thing. Who knows? But it could make a big difference.
Yeah, give it a go.
For not a lot of money. And then come and see you for a course.
And then
so just explain your courses then. So how often do you run them, etc.?
I do an adults workshop and I do a children's version.
Amazing.
So the adults is a whole day. It's like 10 till 4 or 4:30 or something. And it's just, it's lots of meditations, lots of different practical exercises to get you to connect with your crystals and receive any messages from them, or any insights into, you know, what's going on for you and how crystals might be able to help you. So it's a really beautiful day. I always describe it as a bit of a retreat day.
Yeah.
We have lovely drinks and I make you lovely food. And nice. It's just, it's a really beautiful day. It doesn't feel like you're learning, even though you are actually learning a lot. And yeah, it's beautiful. And the kids' version is split into two separate workshops, so that they're shorter, and they basically do similar kind of stuff as well. And yeah, children are amazing with crystals.
And just talking about making lovely food, which I'm sure you do, but how I got my sister bought me one for Christmas, because I'm sort of trying to get into the holistic side of well-being. She bought me a little water flask, and it had the crystal inside. It, you know, those ones. How do you feel about them? Is that a good thing? Because some people say you've got to be careful, you've got to be, that it's the right ones and so on and so on.
I mean, you can make your own crystal water really easily. That's Ooh. One of the things that you can do. So you can make moon water, and then you can...
Moon, you can make moon water.
So put your jug or bottle of water out under the full moon, so it absorbs all the full moon energy.
Yeah.
Then you can add a couple of crystals in, make sure they've not got mercury or lead in, and you're going to poison yourself. So right. Just have a little Google and
note,
check.
Listeners, note.
Just check first.
Yeah.
And you can put your crystals in the bottom of the water, and you can drink it.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a nice idea.
Or you can make them into little sprays, little room sprays, crystals in the water, and maybe add essential oil or fresh herbs or flowers.
Yeah.
Just, you know, whatever energy you want to bring to that room.
Yeah.
Or, you know, a relaxing sleep spray.
Because if you have your crystals, you're meant to put them in out for the moon, aren't you?
So the moon, actually, you know how we talked about the Palo Santo cleansing the crystal? So
the singer, yeah.
Yeah, the singer. The moon can cleanse your crystals, but it can also charge it, give it a boost of energy at the same time. So yeah, you can put them under the full moon. Actually, you can put them under any moon, but the full moon is the most powerful.
Right.
Or you can leave it on your windowsill. It doesn't actually have to be outside.
Oh.
You can also leave them in sunlight, but only do that for a few minutes.
Right.
And actually, you might notice the difference between the crystals that are charged under the sun and under the moon, because you might find that the sun's energy gives your crystals kind of a really energizing boost of energy.
Oh.
Energizing energy. You know what I mean.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Motivational. Yeah. Whereas the moon might be more subtle, more calm.
Right, yeah.
It's fun to kind of play around with that and see how that affects your crystals.
That's amazing. Well, I am definitely going to go crystal shopping with a little bit more idea of what I'm going to do. And I am going to get that book, which I am going to flick through and read after Panto season in January. I shall definitely do that. That is my thing. Well, thank you, darling, for chatting today. I much appreciate it. And if anybody wants to contact you, you're on Facebook and Instagram.
Yeah.
Give us your handle.
So Facebook is Moonstone Holistic Healing. And Instagram is Moonstone Healing UK.
Amazing. You do lots of stuff. Reiki.
Yeah.
Crystals.
Yeah.
You're coming back to talk about the moon a bit later on. There's you do a bit of everything. So if anyone wants to send you any messages, then that is the place to find you. Thank you so much for being here today.
You're welcome.
See, it wasn't that bad, was it?
It wasn't that bad. Let's see how much you have to cut out.
So that was the lovely Stella from Moonstone Healing. How fascinating. Now, I hope, like me, you might even come and join me on one of Stella's courses next year. So interesting. I cannot wait to start to really explore and get to know my crystals that I have right now. Yeah, I love it. I absolutely love it. So who knows? I really hope it might have encouraged you to just have a little bit of a read, have a little bit of a little mooch about with crystals. Why not? Anything we can do to upgrade our day, give it that little cherry on the top. What's wrong with that? Let's give it a go. Thank you so much for listening to this. And I should say, actually, Stella is back a little bit later on, a few more weeks away, and we're talking all things the moon. which is really, really fascinating. I do also just have to do a little shout out with regards to the companion book, my little workbook that I have on sale. Go and check it out. Lots of lovely fun stuff in there for you to do. With regards to mindful colouring, I've got the Upgrade Your Day game in it. There's also the gratitude journal, lots of information about the science of mindfulness that I talked about in the podcast, and a plethora of things in there. So check it out. It's on my website under the little tab for shop, the companion book. Remember to check out upgradeyourday.co.uk. I almost forgot the .co.uk then. Everything's on there. I update the website all the time. Links to lots and lots of things, including the shop, and also links to my social media, Instagram and Facebook. Why not go and give me a like or a share or a whatever you do nowadays? And also remember, there are 16 episodes on series one, so go and check them out. And these on series two get uploaded by my lovely producer Carly on a Monday morning as early. Basically every episode is ready for you to listen to when you wake. I don't know what time it happens. It all just happens magically. it's just there when you wake up in the morning on a Monday, wherever you get your podcasts. Well, listen, thank you so much, and I will see you next week.